I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Millwall Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, they have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter, at Lions Food Hub. DM them, you can DM me at Achtung Millwall, and I'll pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to part two of this doubleheader, end of season doubleheader. Joining me is Mr. Harry Warren. Welcome to the show, H.
Afternoon, Nick.
And direct from his smoking lounge somewhere in the home counties, it's Mr. Michael Hayden. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hello, Nick. Hello, listeners.
We are tasked, gentlemen, with reviewing the 2020-21 season. Done one show with Ryan and Michael already. So I wanted to get your take on it too, boys, because obviously it's been a strange old campaign, and it's been a hard one to we're just having a great conversation, listeners. I'm in kind of wistful mode because I've been having a conversation off air that might have made a great podcast in its own right. But I'm wondering whether this has been a season to have tested our collective love for the game generally, chaps. And I'm saying that not just with Millwall in mind, but with some of the dreary games we've been watching on Sky. I don't know if you've followed any of the Premier League games recently and some of the European games for that matter. It's been a stretch, isn't it? This whole season, no fans in the stadiums, and TV feeds I follow in our case at the Den. Where do you both stand at the end of what has been a very testing season in that direction? I mean, Mike, I mean, where's your love for football these days, mate?
That's an interesting point, Nick. It's definitely wavered. I'll always watch Millwall because that's in my blood. But, you know, probably before COVID, there would always be football on in my flat and house and whatever. Yeah. You know, wherever I was, I'd always have a game on. I was always sort of checking the scores. Whatever league that would be, I think I was always interested in European nights. But, you know, now I find myself watching some shit on Netflix with the missus when it's a Champions League semi-final. So, you know, something that's definitely changed. But I think it just feels slightly less significant in life. I think, you know, many of us, you know, live for football. That's what we do. And I just think this whole pandemic situation has probably given us maybe a different outlook on life. You know, that said, when the new season comes back and we're back in the Den, I'll be back to my old routine, you know, I'm sure. But it's, you know, it has changed my thoughts on it. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, Harry and I were just speaking off air. I mean, we're going to bring you in, H. Talking about the various phases of life. I mean, I'm thinking back to my own life, listeners. Went for a period in the kind of mid-80s where I probably didn't go very often, Colour Cup games here and there, but not very much till the promotion season of 87, 88, from about 83 till 87, for many reasons involving life and family and all the rest of it. Harry, I mean, we were just talking off air, mate. How would you describe your feelings at the moment? I mean, you're struggling with football, Millwall.
Just Millwall, really. Not necessarily football. I mean, I'll sit there and watch. You know, Sky have got their massive sort of 4 or 5 block of games on a Sunday. I'll sit there and won't particularly maybe go for a walk in the morning, go and get a coffee after playing a game on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Stretch myself off and then sit there and not move and then wonder why I'm stiff as a dog on Monday morning. But I'd rather sit there and watch that because I don't know whether or not that's because the quality is better. Maybe even the quality of the broadcast is somewhat better. But also because maybe I'm not invested in that. I am watching it purely as entertainment, where, as with Millwall, you're invested, as we all are, and we all have our opinions and you can disagree with other people's opinions, as I'm sure people disagree with me on a lot of things, and I disagree with them firstly, that's fine. But I have found this season in particular a very, very hard watch. Now, is that because of the fact that it's COVID? Yes, slightly. The one step removal, the most, you know, removed that we all could be and not being there. But also, I don't feel an affinity with this side. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether that is, as you get older, you tend to not, I just don't feel their Millwall. And I don't know why. I can't put my finger on to why I don't feel their Millwall. They seem like a pal imitation of Millwall. We lack a leader. I think that's you know, very, very clear from results on the pitch. But I think that plays into, can I be bothered to watch them? You know, I haven't watched them in probably 5 weeks. I can't remember the last game I actually watched. If I'm being totally honest, that's Cards on the Table. I've watched the highlights or whatever. And once it became very clear to me that we had nothing to play for, I wasn't invested. And that's not me. I'll turn up. But, you know, weirdly, if I was able to go to the Den, I wouldn't have dreamed of missing 5 games on the bounce. Do you know what I mean?
It was, no, I think it's been a stretch in that way. I mean, the quality, Mike, I mean, the quality of the football has not been easy to watch. Let's be really honest. I mean, none of us follow the Lions for the trophies, do we? And none of us have followed Millwall all of our lives for... necessarily for the high talent on the pitch. I mean, we hope for it, but we don't always get it. But we do ask for fire in the belly. And I think for me, one of the things I was asking the chaps to think about was summing up the season in the sentence. And for me, I'm left with a sense of dissatisfaction at the end of the season, because I think that we could have done better and I think we should have done better. But the spirit was lacking in this group of players. And I said it on the other show, I think they let Gary Rowett down in these last 6 games by almost not trying. The ultimate sin at the Den. I mean, would you agree with that, Mike?
In some respects, I think it's been difficult for us all because we felt so distant from the side as well. I think, you know, when you're in the Den and you've got, you know, that atmosphere most of the time, and, you know, you're with your mates, you've had a few pints, you can call Ryan Woods whatever you want. You do feel more invested in the side then. And I think, you know, actually to sit there of a sort of Saturday afternoon, stone cold sober on your own, actually watching the game, you realise, fuck me, we're not that good. But I think it probably may not have been as bad if we were there, because if you bring in those factors. But I do take your point as well, Harry. I felt the side has lost a little bit of its, Millwallness, we call it. You know, there aren't many players there where I think you would call it a typical Millwall-type player. But maybe this is Rowett's plan, I think, you know, to try and modernise the side. But then if you do that, you could disconnect the fan base, which it sounds, again, which probably Harry is feeling a little bit at the moment.
It brings me to my second talking point and then my little list that I put together. I'm not going to stick slavishly to it, because actually some questions are better off merged in with the others. But I mean, Harry, I mean, I want to... you've been a critic of Gary Rowett. Let's nail our colours to the mast. But one of the points I wanted to ask you, and because I think you represent a certain viewpoint. I've seen other posts online, similar kinds of views as your own. But one of the things I was wondering, I mean, given the squad that he inherited and given where it was possible to get it to at the start of this season, back in, I think it was September we started this season, what could he have done better? What should he have done better? What would you have done in his shoes? I mean, how would you have played it if you were a Millwall manager, so to speak?
Well, I think to say that the squad that he inherited is the trope that gets knocked about very easily. And I it's a bit of a myth to me, because the squad that he inherited, take Harris's last season out of it, where we just stayed up. The season before, the only player extra was Saville. Mm-hmm. And we sold Saville for a major profit. Yeah. That was why we went backwards in that season with Harris, is that we lost the midfielder. Last Rowett's first season, we had Malumbi, who done the Saville role, and we ended up finishing eighth for whatever we did. So at the end of that season, we got back to where we were first season in the Championship. So last summer, what Millwall needed to do was add depth and add a little bit of quality. We weren't going to get relegated. That shouldn't have even been a thing. Last season, what did we do? We got Malone, who turned out to be a great signing, and hopefully he stays. Yeah. We continued with the Ryan Woods project, which...
That's a debatable point, isn't it? Ryan Woods is probably the most divisive figure, I think, in the side at the moment.
I don't think we can do much with John Daddy. That's the problem. You can't get rid of players on contracts who no one's going to want to sign. And I get that. And I think with everyone saying that it's a summer for him to get rid of Deadwood only goes if, one, you can cut it out by selling it to somebody on a cheap, which I don't think anyone would, especially in COVID times. You know, you talk about linking it to Premier League sides. They're talking about that these big clubs don't have the money to, you know, go and get Kane out of Tottenham. So they're not going to spend money on a John Daddy Bavarsson, are we? We took a risk on Troy Parrott, hoping he would be the next Harry Kane, when it turned out that he was more like Harry Monk than anything else. we've done that. And then other than that, I can't remember another addition, really. Bennett, we signed again. And other than that, we didn't do a lot of business in the original summer transfer.
No, I didn't disagree with Malone and Mason Bennett. I like them both in their different ways. I like them both. The two kind of flair players intended to be have both turned out to be duds. And I mean by that I mean Troy Parrott and then Kenneth Zohua. Both were duds in different ways. But on paper, I mean, I'll ask you, Mike. I mean, on paper, both looked okay signings. I was quite excited by Troy Parrott, less so Zohua.
Yeah. Funnily enough, Harry, your 2 points that were exactly the first on my list of notes was firstly, the over-reliance on Ryan Woods. Just touching on that, completely agree with you. He didn't show enough for me in the first loan spell, you know, and was even worse this season. I just don't know why he was re-signed. Very strange. And he seems to still be, you know, one of the first names on the team sheet, which is odd. But yes, touching on that, we were so naive with the signing of Troy Parrott. I mean, I remember his announcement video, you know, the sort of flashy things, and suddenly this
it
announcement.
It was Tim KLS, wasn't it?
Me cringe. Yeah, it just makes me cringe thinking back to it now. You're so naive. The chap had never played a men's professional game, and we were looking at him to come in and score 20 goals in a season. It turned out to be a dreadful signing. And actually, since then, he's gone on to Ipswich, and I think he hasn't even been getting in their side.
He got one goal where they kicked it at him. It was a very Meyer Hoffer, the goal scorer, his arse. Yeah.
So I think elements of naivety, wasn't it? And then touching on Zohor, I think he showed a little bit of promise when he did sign. It was that game at Preston, I think.
44 grand a week.
I mean, he's not worth that. But, you know, once he got injured and then he just didn't look like he cared. So I think we haven't fixed the centre forward position. And I think that was something that Rowett has failed this season, because that's been broken for, well, at least two seasons now.
The thing that makes me laugh the most, and I'll say this, is if you actually look at that, so he realised he made a mistake. So let's cut the season before Christmas. So before Christmas, what were we? We were mid-table, couple of points outside the playoffs, maybe 4 or 5 points always outside the playoffs. If I remember rightly, before we went on the run where we didn't win, we couldn't buy a win, we drew, you know.
Endless draws. We were eighth in, we beat Preston 2-0 away, and we were in eighth position at that point, Harry. And then we were the endless draws and losses. Yeah.
See, the thing for me with it is it felt like a season of stagnation because we didn't do the things either in the summer. But basically, the season was ruined by the summer in January, weirdly, because the shortfall wins we were able to paper over in the first half of the season. We went through that run and gave ourselves too much to do in the second half of the season, regardless who we signed, unless we signed, you know, Mbappe and scored 40 goals was in the end of the season. But the problem for me is that, what's the right word? There is a system that Gary Rowett plays. It's a rigid system. And we are probably a player light, if not more, in every single area of the side. And Millwall don't have the money to do this rebuild in one window. Now, we did do a lot of good business. Well, I say we done a lot of good business. I think we done business that we needed to do. But whether or not it's great business, I just think it was okay business. I think Kifton Bell and Evans are okay players, and they're probably much of a muchness. They probably add depth that we need, you know, now that we know Williams is going and Ferguson as well. That left-hand side does look remarkably weak still. That's been the same for two or three seasons there. You know, the problems with the squad still exist. And I don't buy that this is, it seems to be a lot of, from Gary Rowett defenders, there seems to be a lot of, well, it's Harris's fault still. This is Gary Rowett's side. There is no doubt about it. This is Gary Rowett's team now. You can't keep, yes, he's working under circumstances post-COVID, but every manager in the Football League is working under circumstances post-COVID. Every club in the world is working. Every business around the world is working post-COVID. You can't use that as a defence. And last season, the business, ins and outs at the club, was clearly not good enough because we ended up in the season finishing behind where we finished the season before. And that's how you judge. The league table doesn't lie.
The intention of the club is to progress. We finished 12th, mid-table. Some would say that's a good achievement. I've said it. That's a good achievement historically for Millwall. But Mike, the club make a thing of saying that we want to progress. So that implies that there's going to be some signings to come in over the summertime, presumably to address the lack of goals, which is crying out, and also it's to some level the midfield. Mike, for you, is this formation? I don't know if it's a 3-4-3 or a 3-5. I don't know, you know, what variation of numbers you want. But I mean, are the tactics right for you, or is 4-4-2 had its day at Millwall?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, firstly, the squad depth point is the big mistake Rowett made was not strengthening at centre-back last summer window because, you know, he had four, talking about the formation, obviously we're playing sort of five at the back with three centre-backs. You know, he only had four at his disposal centre-backs, one being someone who was obviously very much lackluster. And then he's always had someone else, you know, just filling in there, whether that be Leonard when he was fit. That's not Leonard's best position. And then Evans, who I think is a better midfield player than a defender, which we've seen. So that was a massive error because the minute one or two got injured, we've been screwed, really. I think defensively, which he's meant to be a defensive manager, that was just a real mistake. You know, it was clear that it was always going to go tits up. And you could see some of the defending this season has been pretty poor, certainly in the second half. But on your point, it's very difficult to say, Nick, because this year, I just think at so many times we've had so many countless injuries, and it feels like sometimes the squad is just being held together with, you know, bargain bucket sticky take almost. You know, he's having to name, you know, sometimes different sides each time we go out due to injuries or COVID or something like that. So I think it is difficult to really comment massively on those tactics because I just don't think we've had that full strength side at the disposal yet. I think if you go on, you know, run of games when you can actually see the way this formation could actually work, it, you know, I'm holding my judgment. I think at times I think it works quite well when we're able to break quickly, and you know, that does work. But other times, you know, we've been ripped apart by sides and looked like none of the players know what they're doing. So I think it's difficult to judge based on this season, really, because it's just been such a sort of strange one. But what we will know is that he's not going to deviate from this. Clearly, this is his favoured formation. And I think he's going to bring players in the summer who will hopefully fit this formation. I miss 4-4-2 in a way, but I think... Yeah, who? Not many sides play it anymore. I think, you know, in the top two leagues, I mean, Burnley are like an old-fashioned Millwall, but I can't think of actually other many sides. So I think you do have to try and be progressive, because if you keep playing that old same way, you risk being left behind. So
I would turn around and count that it's a results business, and you play to the side you've got, not the side you want. And I feel at times he's guilty of playing to a side that he wants, not a side that he's got. And that is a massive problem. And it is. And you know, the one comment I got from this season that will stick in my throat until he's gone is that I pick the side, it's my side. And it's a very stubborn thing. I mean, he's the one that gets sacked, hired or fired. But the fact is that I know Alex Pearce isn't good enough. And I also know that Ryan Woods can't do a CDM's role. I've watched the same games that you have, and most Millwall fans would agree on those points. You know, I sat there and watched the Derby versus Sheffield Wednesday game, hoping they both went down. Just so, and I was sitting there watching any of them. Well, what players out of this will Rowick sign? Because he'll go to a generic Northern Mid sort of Birmingham City type area club. And we seem to sign their players. Now, rightly or wrongly, it seems that that is the way that we're scouting, is to sign championship, solid championship players. Well, if you sign solid championship players, you're only going to be a solid championship team, which is fine. But admit that that's the ambition. The fact, I suppose that's the problem. I don't feel we have the ambition required. And also, if we are going to do this new kind of, we're playing this formation, that you need a squad rebuild. And squad rebuilds are tricky to do in terms of one.
Expensive, Harry, as well.
Expensive.
I mean, ambition is expensive as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Ambition is expensive, but they spent money this season on presumably wages on loan, because I know for a fact that Stoke had something mad like 50 players out. Well, maybe not 50 players, but they definitely had a hell of a lot of players out on loan this season, Stoke, to balance their wage bill. If you actually look at it, you know, Gregory, for one, Brian Woods, Charlie Adam, you can start naming of what championship sides are doing to cut costs. So there is a little bit of wriggle room in the market for a well-run club like ours, because we are a well-run club in terms of not spending beyond our means. But there comes to this point of, well, at some point you do have to take gambles on players from lower down. And I do feel that doesn't seem to happen, or there doesn't seem to be from Gary Rowick, you know, the chance of playing Hayden, for instance.
I was going to say that.
Pierce, you know, or the young boy. We were in them 14 games, we're absolutely crying out for some form of enthusiasm. And I think he put Thompson back in and we didn't lose him 5, for instance. And then, you know, he takes Thompson out and we lost again. And whether that makes Thompson makes players work harder, or whether Thompson has some kind of negative inferior, I know that Ben Thompson is a Millwall fan, and therefore I look at him differently, and other people hate him because he is a Millwall fan and therefore he has to be the best player on the pitch. I know he's a divisive character. But the fact of the matter is character is Millwall Football Club. We talk about characters all the time. And in most football clubs, successful football clubs are based around characters on and off the pitch. And sometimes this season, going back to what you've said about players letting Gary Rowick down, I think he's let himself down by picking players that have no character.
I mean, Mike, I'd say a criticism that I would make of Gary Rowett, and some criticism is fair, some criticism isn't fair. No one can be criticised for the impact of COVID-19. I'm just looking at that Preston game that we mentioned earlier on, which was a good win, 2-0, and then we got stuffed the Saturday after at home by Huddersfield Town. But a criticism I would make of Gary Rowett is what Harry just said there, where we don't seem to be looking at players from coming up from the lower levels, and we don't seem to be particularly prepared to back our youth. I mean, especially in the critical areas up front. I mean, I'm thinking of Isaac Alofe at Sutton, who seems to be a player that knows where the back of the net is, and that's what we've been crying out for. He does seem to be conventional in his tastes in that way, doesn't he?
I think he has sort of been trying to build a more of a spine of the side. And I still, if I looked at our squad, I still think that best 11, I think you'd probably keep 7 or 8 of that best. And hopefully they, play next season. You know, Bart, Hutch, Cooper, we've got Romeo, McNamara, Mitchell's improving, Evans and Kifton Bill just come in, Mason Bennett, Jed Wallace. These are all good players at this level. So I think what he has tried to do is probably with Kifton, Beld and Evans is build a bit of squad depth. And with squad depth, I think you do need these solid championship signings. You know, as you alluded to, Harry, I mean, they're not necessarily going to set the world alight, but they're going to be shrewd operators. And then once you've got that spine, you can hopefully add those 2 or 3 star players, alongside Jed, hopefully, who can really make the difference in a side. So I think I'm hoping that's sort of what happens this summer. And I can kind of see it almost building towards that. Because as I say, I think there is still a lot of that side, which I think are decent players at this level. And, I think we've still got something to build on. I mean, maybe I'm being over positive, but
I think so.
I don't think all is lost. What I mean? It's not like we're not bloody got Ricardo Fuller up top.
I agree to that point, but I think also that's almost, there's two ways of looking at that. And I think we looked at that, what you've just said. I think we thought that last summer. Yeah, on our day where our 11 are fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. And we will win when our 11 are fit. I don't doubt that because we're better than a lot of those players are better than a lot of 11s in the championship. The problem is as soon as you scratch off that silver scratch card coating of our 11, you're into Bodvarsson.
Oh, yeah. Agree about that.
Let's just throw Bodvarsson.
Yeah. For me,
for the role that you want to do, I can compare two players that do very similar roles. Barry Bannum for Sheffield Wednesday, who's just been relegated, right? He's a much more mobile ball-playing midfielder than Ryan Woods. They're probably going to be roughly the same amount of wages. And I know which one will get booed, and I know which one will be allowed for artistry because they move around a bit more and they're a bit more mobile. And if you run around a lot at Millwall, you get called a player that puts their heart and soul into it and you get left alone. Ryan Woods isn't that player.
It's so cynical in your old age, Harry.
It's not cynical. It's planning. It's understanding. Understanding your audience, because the Den is an audience and the Den wants to be entertained. And next season when we go back, if he goes 14 game winless, he'll be hung from fucking the rafters of the East Upper.
I'm just looking at a run. I'm choosing this run, listeners, so don't pick me up on it. But we got beaten the FA Cup by Bristol at home, badly beaten, 3-0. But we went on a run. There's been some good stuff in this season in its way. We've gone from Watford on the 25th of January, a championship, third place at the time for Watford. We were 16th. They've gone with just 3 defeats from Jan 25th. 3 defeats up until the final 6 when I would really pick this squad up. So we've just 3 losses, wins and draws, and we've moved up to the brink of the top echelon of the division. And then we've let it slip. We've got badly stuffed at home by Swansea. Not a bad draw at Brentford. Stuffed again out of sight by Bournemouth. An okay performance at Watford, unluckily to get beat there, I think you'd have to say. I'm going to park that Bristol 4-1 win, Mike, to one side, because I think that Bristol were, as Bart, Bill Coffey
said. I believe Bristol didn't get relegated. They were that bad for the second half.
They're on Western Supermere Pier or somewhere. I don't know what they're on. If they have a beach there, I don't know. And then Saturday, obviously 6-1 stuffing at Coventry. We just totally switched off for those final 6 games. And I find that a bit unforgivable from this squad, because we mightn't have made the top 6. We shouldn't have made the top 6, but we had a chance. And that's the Millwall fire in the belly that's gone.
Yeah, we had a shrewd chance. I think you know, firstly, I think Rowett, if he was managing another club, he'd have probably been sacked during that bad run, because I think back to some of the podcasts we recorded, we were rock bottom. We were thinking we were going to get relegated. But I think you do have to give him some credit that he managed to turn it round in that respect and go on that good run of form. And it was completely out of the blue, really, because it just looks like it was just a never-ending loss and going to end in relegation. So I think, you know, you got to give the man some credit there. But I think the funny thing with Millwall is that most seasons that we've had over the last 20 years, you're either really battling to get into sixth or you're fighting relegation. So there's always something to play for, you know, up until the very last game of the season in most divisions. That wasn't the case this season. You know, we've not been actually used to probably having six, seven, eight games left where it's pretty clear we're too far from the playoffs. We're going to finish in the top half, but, you know, that's it. So I think, you know, I'm just, again, trying to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt. Obviously, we are very disappointed with some of the performances at the end of the season, but it was almost like the players were just fucking sick of it as well as we were as fans and just wanted it over. Do you know what I mean? But it could have been. You don't know. But I think, I just think it was just, it's one of them seasons where it's just like no other. And I think where we were in the league, we've not been sort of used to that mid-table mediocrity, I don't think, at Millwall for a while.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Harry, give me some reasons to be cheerful.
This will be quick.
Reasons to be cheerful.
Billy Mitchell and Danny McNamara. That is literally it. That is literally the only reasons to be cheerful.
Oh, come on.
What else do you want me to say?
I've got you here. What have you got, Mike?
I did put the season is over is one of my points. But I've already said it. I think full strength, I think that we've got a side which we can build on and add to. And I think that's cheerful in some respect, because as I say, I don't think it's an absolute shit show like that squad under Holloway where, City, for example, they've, I think, got 12 players out of contract at the end of the season, you know, and that is a squad overhaul. What we're saying is we want to sell a handful, buy a handful. Yeah, it's less of a squad overhaul in that respect. So I think in some regards, that's cheerful. Performances of Jed Wallace, again, for me, have been very positive again for most of this season. He's a player I enjoy to watch.
Yes,
and I think he's we're lucky to have a player like that, I think, in some respects.
For how long?
Well, yeah.
He may have played his last game for us, according to some websites.
He's out of contract next season. That's all I'm saying.
He's got to sign it. I mean, you've got to be thinking, you know, sign again, give us one more year, and then we can maybe sell him for a bit more cash. Because obviously, if he's only got a year left on his deal, we're not going to, you know, be able to cash in as much. But, yeah, hopefully he does stay, but I could understand why the lad might want to leave. I guess he's been here a long time now, but he's been good.
He must be at a point in his career where he wants to achieve something, who knows?
The problem is, if he does leave, we are fucked. I mean, that is, that's being totally honest. You take that amount of goals out of sight and that amount of assists, what have we got? And that is where I start to panic.
Well, my reason's to be cheerful, because I don't want to... This is turning into like too much of a depressive show. I always like to leave the listeners with an upbeat kind of feel about these editions. So I've got. I mean, in a way, it goes back to what you said, Harry. Youth. I mean, we've got two great youth players already established in the team, Billy Mitch and now Danny Mack. Two both look like they've got the ingredients to go all the way in the game. I also like the look of, although we haven't seen much of Hayden Muller, but whenever we have seen him take the field in recent games, he's looked totally at home, playing in Championship, playing against Championship attacks. We don't know how Isaac Alofe is going to do. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. If I'm mispronouncing it, I apologise to him. But he seems to be doing well at Sutton in Division 5, effectively, of league football. So there are others in the youth squad that we believe may have chances. I hope that Gary Rowett sees the value in playing some of the kids more often, because we haven't seen it as much this season. This is a criticism I would make, boys, that if we weren't going to play Hayden, if we're not going to bring Isaac back, and we've got James Brown up at St Johnston, you know, for these kinds of games, these dead rubber games, when are we going to play them, you know?
Yeah. I'd have given them more of a chance. I mean, Tyler Bury was another one, Nick, who I think we've been quite impressed with. Quite exciting to watch. But the only other thing in playing devil's advocate is how many youth players can you play in a side? I mean, you know, he's brought back McNamara from St Johnstone, who's been a revelation. I mean, who'd have thought how good this kid is? He will, and I think we will see more of him. And the fact he's challenging Romeo, who's been one of our better players over the last few years, is really good to see. And you know, Mitchell would have featured more this season if it wasn't for his injury. So you've got two youngsters there, and he's given a bit of time. But I think we've said on the show before, I think as fans, we're just like, well, dead rubber these last eight games. But Rowett, for his own personal ego, will want to try and beat eighth or whatever it was from last season. And I think that's why he continuously picked the strongest 11. And that's another mistake, trying to be positive. But it is, because I think, you know, actually the fans could go into next season and go, well, who gives two flying fucks if we finish 8th to 14th now? Yeah. We'd love to see, you know, Muller and Bury start, get 90 minutes. And that actually might have brought a more positive spin even to this podcast.
Maybe it would have done.
Goes back to knowing your audience. I think sometimes he's his own worst enemy in terms of getting maybe his doubters such as me on side, because he'll do five good things. And I think, oh yeah, I might start warming to him. I can see what he's trying to do there. And then he'll come out and say something stupid. And I think to myself, you're a cunt, ain't you? Really? You just don't get us. And I think, you know, there is a lot to be said when the manager understands the club. And I generally don't believe that he does.
I've got another reason to be cheerful, Chet.
But the reason to be cheerful is that he is a safe football manager. I don't think
That is a reason to be cheerful.
Is that he's not completely fucking useless, I suppose, is a plus point.
The financial stability of the club, I mean, we should all be, I think we all are eternally grateful to John Berylson for keeping us on an even financial keel. I mean, we don't have to look far. Derby County were fighting for their lives on Saturday, looking to go down possibly, and Sheffield Wednesday, and we've seen. It doesn't put bums on seats, but financial stability is a big, big reason, as long as we've got John Berylson in charge of us anyway, to be cheerful. And I take a bit of pinch of salt on the Gary Rowett front, Harry, because I don't actually know. You can argue about one or two points of tactics and substitutions, and perhaps if Zohor had been, you know, come off, then the season might have looked slightly different. I don't know, but I'm not sure many of us could have done much different to what he's done in the circumstances of the season. I just think it's been a strange season.
It has been difficult. I would just say that for all my criticism, he has kept us in the Championship for another season. Which is always the thing with Millwall, is that to stay in this division is an achievement. It is an achievement. Some people see that as being negative, and that was a trope to beat Neil Harris in the past, that to say to stay in this division is an achievement. It is. But eventually, you can't live in this division all the time because of the money that keeps washing down from the sides relegated. The first time in history that the three sides relegated will go straight back up. But there are talks, which is a positive, of ending parachute payments, which will be good for Millwall because Millwall will, the well-run clubs will benefit because we won't have to fight against an ever-increasing money pool to an ever-increase. I mean, what is it? I think there's, what, six clubs maybe in the division that have never been in the Premier League? There's not many.
Yeah, maybe. I'd have to count them up, but I'll take your word at that. Let's have a quick run through the squad. I mean, Bart Bilkossi, player of the season. Justified, Mike, player of the season for you, Bart?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I think I gave him a 9 out of 10. I think, again, he's extremely good. He's got the odd gaff in him, but I think he's a very good player. I'd like to see one of our perhaps Jed Wallace win it. I think just because he's, you know, he entertains, gets well, bums off sofas in this season, but you know, that's what you know to give. I just think to give the goalkeeper player of the season, you know, in this season was not my choice, but yeah, I mean, he's I think he's definitely one of our best players, so I guess deserving so in that respect.
Well, I voted Jed, Harry. I mean, how did you see Bart as a player of the season? I mean, I can't disagree with a choice, but I think I'm with Mike in wanting to see someone a bit more creative get it.
I wanted Scott Malone to get it.
Scott Malone, I wouldn't have argued about Scott Malone either.
I thought Scott Malone was, at night and day, one of our better players. I think, really, the three standouts for the season were Malone, Bart and Jed. And I think other than that, everyone had erratic seasons, really. They were the most consistent performers of the three that we've mentioned. Even Malone was quite erratic at times as well. But I think, you know, you can't have your left-back scoring three absolute worldies in a season and not put him into player of the year contention.
That's our audience.
Yeah, it's Mike. Mike mentioned it earlier on about Leonard. I think Leonard is our best midfielder without a doubt. And when he plays well, we play well.
Leonard's a good example of the injuries really doing. I mean, I'm just looking at Sean Hutchinson getting injured, Ryan Leonard, Matt Smith, our goal scorer. you know, and even the enigma that is Conor Mahoney coming back after a long time out. I mean, injuries really have hit us very, very hard this season. And I think we've noticed, certainly defensively, in the last 4 weeks or so of the season, what Sean Hutchinson can bring to the defence. Because I think Jake's looked a little bit...
He needs a leader next to him, really, doesn't he?
He looks a little bit lost at times. And, you know, so we struggled Saturday with it all. Ryan Woods. I just want to touch on Ryan Woods.
And on a positive.
As I must. I mean, I'll ask the question. Is he a signer? Is he one for the taxi, Harry?
I think there's better versions. I understand what Ryan Woods is meant to do. And I understand what he can do. The problem is there's too much for me that he can't do. And we don't have, there's too many things we need to sign before we sign a player like Ryan Woods for me.
I've come to that viewpoint in a way, Harry. I mean,
we need a ball playing centre back. Yeah. We need a second goalkeeper and we need a striker. So do I need a CDM that can spray the ball to someone we haven't got yet? I don't think we need him yet.
Yeah, well, I would say the only times Woods has played well and it's been, you know, on one hand, to be honest, this season is when he's been allowed to push forward a little bit more. If you can play maybe Evans in that DM role, which I think he could well be suited for, and you potentially let Woods kind of go forward and be a bit more creative. But it's just the position he's played in, whether it's been he's not good enough, this maybe, or whether that's just not the right position for him in this side, could be a possibility. I think that's what we need to look at. But you're right, I think there's more pressing areas. He's not showed enough over two seasons to warrant signing. And I think his wages would probably be quite high as well, based on what he's been reportedly on at Stoke. I don't know. I think if the plan would be maybe to try him a bit further forward, maybe sign him to give him a chance, but surely he's had that opportunity now. So
Yeah, I mean, no goals. I mean, you know, I know he's not there to, as a goal-scoring attacking midfielder, but that's still not much, is it, from a player at his level? There was a great clip that was doing around a few weeks ago of him playing for Shrewsbury, I think it was, scoring some shot from distance. And you think, where's that player gone? You know, that Ryan was the one that I'd really like to see. But anyway, that's I think I agree with Harry. I think it's taken me all season, Harry, to reach this point. But I think I agree with you, mate.
It's all right. I mean, everyone comes around to my way of thinking. the problem for me is that, you know, I'm just thinking of wages wise. I can't imagine the players that we know to be leaving now are on massive wages. So we're talking about Ferguson, Williams and Fielding. I can't imagine that's massive wages. But we haven't got a second goalkeeper.
No, we do.
Bart is one injury away from us being massively in trouble. There's you know, Derby stayed up, so you can't go and raid them, Rowett. So you've got to go and look at somebody else. There's Sheffield Wednesday,
maybe.
You know, is there anyone from there we can go and nick? Because there's also clubs with massive financial problems lower down in this table. And I think that's where Millwall got to do their solid pieces of business there. But there is players that we need to go and look at. West Brom are going to come down and be, I would say, the teams coming down aren't in complete disarray. Maybe Fulham might be, depending on their, depending on what happens with their sides and so on and so forth.
But you can see West Brom dominating next season, can't you? The way that Norwich have done this year.
Yeah, I would say so. I think Millwall in that pack of teams, that there's probably 11 of those teams in the Championship that fancy their chances at having a run for the playoffs. And you know, I can see us having a run to the playoffs, but again, a bit like what Mike said at the beginning, we need to sign a goal scorer. They're the hardest thing to buy in football. You sort of see the players that Middlesbrough have released. You know, you see that Malumbi did nothing at Preston. You see these players that seemingly, you've said in the past, Nick, that find their niche at Millwall. Yeah. And Millwall need to find a niche of signing these players that find their home at Millwall and excel at Millwall. And we just lack some of that at the minute. And I don't think Ryan Woods particularly fits into that excelling at Millwall type idea. And I think we need to get, if Rowett's going to play this way, he needs to find a balance. And I think that balance has been slightly lacking. Whether or not that will happen next season when we're back and so on and so forth, I don't know. But there are reasons to be positive. We didn't get relegated and we're there or thereabouts. But they do need to sign well in the summer for us to make any kind of improvement on what has been a frustrating season for me, really.
One last one just to close us, boys. Ben Thompson has looked like a player that is not going to be with us for much longer. And I don't know if that's just intuition or is it, Rowett doesn't seem to fancy him much, Mike, does he?
No, it's sad in a way when a Millwall's sons, you know what I mean, with Thompson. But I think... Yeah. He's had opportunities this year. I think it's been pretty average, to be honest. And I just think perhaps, you know, he's old enough now. Was he 25?
25, I think.
Yeah, which, you know, at that age, you should be established in the Championship where, you know, I still think his sort of style of play probably doesn't fit what Rowett wants. And, you know, I'm not sure he's the answer anymore, which, you know, it does pain me to say that. But I think, for him, I think he's got a big career decision to make, because no doubt we'd keep him as a squad player, I'm sure of that. But, you know, Ben needs to have a think, well, could he go back down to somewhere like Portsmouth where he's guaranteed a start and have a good, you know, hopefully, they should get promoted next year. They've been saying that for three seasons. But you know, I think it's the decision Ben needs to make is he happy to be a squad player at his boyhood club, or does he want to play week in, week out, which is probably most likely to be in League One, isn't it?
I know what my answer would be. What would yours be, Harry? I think I'd have to move on personally.
Well, I think that's a distinct possibility. I would say, though, that if he does leave and go on to have a great career somewhere else, it will be very indicative of Millwall, of shooting themselves in the foot. But there we go. That's football in a way. You either, some managers suit certain players. I think Mike's right in saying that Rowett doesn't, for whatever reason, like Ben. You know, for whatever reason, he hasn't seemingly liked Shane Ferguson. There's a lot of that going on. And that will either work or it won't work. And we're about to see whether or not it works or not. Now, that terrifies me because the changing of the guard at Millwall in my time of supporting hasn't necessarily always gone well. Normally it ends up with us in League One. And that possibly could happen again. I'm not saying Ben Thompson is a direct link to us going to League One, by the way. But my point is, as a wider changing of the guard of the governors, shall we say, from Mike Cowan's book, you know, you start looking at the side that when we got promoted, you start looking at the characters, you know, you start looking at all of them. You've lost Ford, you've lost Byron Webster, you've lost Williams, you've lost Gregory, you've lost Morrison, you're now losing Thompson, you've lost AOB, you've lost Ferguson. You start losing the players that have had that positive experience with the club. And we're not exactly the easiest club to play for. And I always feel it's a balance of having players who understand the club to get the best out of some of the players that don't have an affinity with the club. And
arm for a governor, Mike, wouldn't you, right now on that pitch?
Certainly would. I think for me, Hutchinson would probably count as one, and maybe Jed as well. But yeah. I think, you know, if you think then that the governor, we had five or six, which you wouldn't fuck with in the tunnel, would you?
No.
Whereas
no.
Now, you know, you've got, you haven't got much there. But
Conor Mahoney's guy-liner, yeah, for a start.
But I think that's the balance. But it depends that what is the modern definition of a governor? Is that someone who actually has some quality and stuff like that? Or is it someone who's going to, you know, live for the shirt and kick the players, you know, 10 feet up in the air? I think, you know, there's a balance, really. I think that's what we've got to find. But you know, as we've touched on, it's so difficult with transfers with us, because like we've seen when we tried to sign Kiefer Moore, you got five or six other Championship sides in for the same player. And then you suddenly have got, you know, Cardiff, Middlesbrough, oh, and Millwall are in for him. You just know we're never going to sign these players. And that's what must be so challenging for the club, because we don't have the money, the wages to spend. I think you're really going to want to either try and rejuvenate your career at Millwall and really want to be here. And we'll guarantee you Championship football as long as you give it 100%. And I think that's what's going to be challenging for this summer. Can they find a few hidden gems which go under the radar? We will see.
That's the club we love, dear listeners, whether you know, for better or for worse, happy or sad, that's the club that we love. And I'm afraid it's not going to change in a hurry. I want to say thank you to Harry and to Mike for taking time out of their days today and joining me on the show. I also want to say thank you to Aaron, to Ryan and Michael for being the spine of the show all season. And I also want to say thank everybody that's taken part. Too numerous to mention here. I don't have any notes. I'm just doing this from off the top of my head from memory. I just want to say thank you to everyone that's taken part in the show. All of the people who have corresponded with me. It's really nice to get messages from people regarding the giving the sense of what the show brings to them. It's really quite touching sometimes and takes my breath away a little bit, because never was what I expected when I started doing this all those years ago. So big thank you to you all. Thank you to chaps today. Let's have a nice summertime. Let's get some normal life back after June 21st, I think it is. And let's go to the Den in August, mask-free, vaccinated up, and get back to normality again. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would. And thank you to you, Nick, as well. I think from all the listeners and ourselves that have come on the show, the efforts that you put in and excellent coverage again this season. And, you know, for me personally, thoroughly enjoy coming on. So, yeah, thanks for you, Nick, as well.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. That's kind. Many
Seconded, I'm sure. And thank you for all the people that give me abuse. You truly make this create this extensive Millwall performance. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So thank you very much.
So until August, dear listeners, for most of these kinds of shows anyway, until August, it's Arrivederci Mill. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Mill. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.